All right, thank you, folks. Let's open our Bibles to the book of John, John chapter 8. We're still in chapter 8, good long chapter here, and we'll get into the dialogue where the religious crowd is attacking the Lord Jesus Christ over his deity. They can't accept the fact that he was God, God's son, and the world still can't accept that fact today. They can't get over the resurrection, but they just keep denying it in every kind of way. And false religion, of course, hates the truth, and the truth is that Jesus was who he said he was. In verse 33 of chapter 8, we've already said a little bit about it, but I want to kind of get a running start by jumping in maybe about verse 33. On the issue of what they claimed then, the Jews were claiming this, the Arabs, the Muslims today claim this. This is a big argument right here. And you need to be straight on it by understanding your Bible about it. You go all the way back to Genesis chapter 12. You go back to where Abraham was called. You go back to the covenants and the promises that God made to Abraham. And that'll keep you straight. And that'll keep you straight with all the false religions out here. Here's what they said to Jesus in verse 33. They answered him, "We be Abraham's seed. And were never in bondage to any man." That's not true. The Egyptians had them in bondage. But that was their argument. "How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" Now, he's talking to them about spiritual freedom. They're talking to him back to him in a physical way. "We be Abraham's seed." That's what Islam tries to claim today. Well, they are through Ishmael, but not through Isaac. And if you read the Bible, you see it's the seed of Isaac that counts. You remember why Ishmael came upon the scene? He came upon the scene because Abraham and Sarah wanted to help God out, remember? And how Sarah brought her handmaid in, brought Hagar in, and how Abraham participated, and Ishmael was born, and the fight's been on ever since. The devil got in a hard lick there. And look how much bloodshed has been shed over that one thing. It's really, somebody said, well, it's a family fight. It is a fight between the son of Sarah and the son of the handmaid, the stepson there of Ishmael. And what the Bible predicts about Ishmael has turned out to be true and still is today. I was just reading an article yesterday. Any of you remember where there was over 200, almost 300 schoolgirls kidnapped by the Muslims? And about 100 of them, one way or the other, has escaped. But there's still about 160 of them that they still have as slaves. They sold them into marriage and everything else, these young schoolgirls. It's an awful, awful thing that they've done. But that crowd, that's still that same crowd, claiming to be Abraham's seed and attacking and killing, and their main way of converting is by the sword. It's an awful thing to read about. It's a terrible thing. Somebody said, well, slavery was awful. Yes, it was, but it's still around. And it's big time over there in the areas that we're talking about right now, really big. And it's awful. But here's the claim. We'll be Abraham's seed. That's the argument. This is what the Jews were saying to Jesus here, arguing against him. It says in verse 33, we be Abraham's seed. Verse 34, Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. Now he's telling them something, huh? You commit the sin, you reject me, you become the servant of sin. Think about that on a very realistic, real day-by-day thing. Do you know that if you commit sin, sin has a way of capturing you? Just sins against the flesh, dope, alcohol, tobacco, those things capture you. Do you know that? a young man grows up and maybe gets to be 13, and maybe not even that old or a little older, and he sees the big boys smoking. So he wants to smoke because that's a vehicle of his maturity to say, look, I'm grown up, right? And For a little while, he can lay them down, but the time comes he can't. Now, that little old 2 or 3 inch cigarette has captured him. Same thing with alcohol, same thing with dope. Isn't it amazing? The book of Proverbs describes the alcohol, how it, at the last, biteth like an adder. It captures, and sin does that. There's a lot of people out in sin who would like to get out of it, but it's captured them. They can't get free. They're addicted. The flesh is in control, and that's a terrible thing. And today, the fact or the sad issue that society tries to condone it and say it's okay, don't make it okay. It still is a hard taskmaster, and when you become the servant of sin, it's an awful thing. Whether it's just the attraction of the flesh and the mind, whatever it is. But he that committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant, he says in verse 35, the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth. He's trying to make a show the difference here. The difference in the Lord Jesus Christ being the son, and the difference in the servant. What a big difference. The son, he says, abides forever. If the son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I know that ye are Abraham's seed. Physically, they were. But ye seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my father, and you do that which ye have seen with your father. Now we're going to get into an interesting subject here. Jesus is saying something real hard. This wouldn't be politically correct today. He's telling these unbelieving Jews, these that are trying to trip him up, he's telling them that he has a different father than they have. Now, if you want to get in trouble today, you just say that, but it's still Bible, it's still true. You might not like this, but Jesus said to those religious people, religious Pharisees, ye are of your father the devil. Boy, that wouldn't play too good on the news, would it? Certainly not in the universities today. But that's what he's teaching them right here. No wonder they wanted to crucify him and kill him. And he said, I speak that which I have seen with my father, and you do that which you have seen with your father. Two different fathers. Two different fathers. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. He's telling them that if you really was right with God, your father, you'd understand who I am, and you'd be right with me. That's what the whole issue is there, and it still is today. He said, you'd do the works of Abraham. But he says in verse 40, but now you seek to kill me. A man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God, this did not Abraham. Abraham couldn't do that. Jesus come from the Father God. He was God incarnate in the flesh. This was the whole issue. This is why ultimately they crucified him. This is why today he's still rejected. Here recently in the news from time to time, funerals, other things. Political meetings, I find that it's real easy for them to mention God, but you hardly ever hear Jesus mentioned. You notice that? Still the issue. Still the issue. That's what it's all about. Who was Jesus? Was he God? Was he the Son of God? That's the issue. They wanted to kill him because he said he was, and they didn't want to believe that. He says in verse 41, you do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. Now, that's the argument. They said, okay, this is where the virgin birth comes in. You were born of fornication. No, he was virgin born, and that's still the issue today, isn't it? Still the big issue today. You have new versions of the Bible that change the scripture to try to destroy the virgin birth. You have issues that come up right and left. The biggest and probably most hated verse in the Bible, New Testament anyway, that we get to will be over here in John chapter 14 later. We hadn't quite got there yet. But in John 14 and verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by me. That's hated in our universities because it says there's only one way to heaven, and that's Jesus. Not Muhammad, not Buddha, not Shinto, not Socrates or any old, no, none of the philosophers, none of the false gods, just Jesus. And that's still the main issue today. Now, Jesus is telling them something here. You're serving your Father, I'm serving mine. And they don't like that. They don't like that at all. Jesus said unto them in verse 42, if God were your Father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Now, when you run across these liberals and some professors that sometime will say this, they'll say Jesus never claimed to be God. Well, what do you do with a verse like that? How much plainer was he claiming that? Of course he was claiming to be that. And here's the one that they don't like and they still don't like today. He said in verse 43, why do you not understand my speech, even because you cannot hear my words? And here's plain as it can get, verse 44. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Now, this is the part that still upsets them all today. Ye are of your father the devil. He wasn't talking to a bum sleeping under the bridge on dope or alcohol. He was talking to the religious crowd. And the crowd that today gets the maddest is the ones that thinks they're good without Jesus. They're socially high. They are educated. They have prestige. I remember one time I pulled up to a service station gassing up, and of course that was a while ago because they don't do this anymore, but a young man come out to help me pump gas. See, that's been a long time ago, hadn't it? But anyway, he come out to pump gas, and I it was the first few years I was here in town, and so I'm talking to him while he's pumping gas, and I gave him church tract and invited him to church, he said, well, why would I need to go to church? I said, well, you can hear the gospel about how to be saved. He said, well, I don't need to be saved. And he was kind of spoiling to attack me on that. He said, why would I need to be saved? I said, because we're all sinners. He said, I'm not. I let him run on about that just a minute. And then I said, just what you got through doing will do for sin until you get around to committing some. Because you just told a bunch of lies. You are a sinner. Now, the truth is, a lot of folks don't want to admit, but everybody needs Jesus because we can't save ourselves. We can't be good enough. We can't pay our price. And only he could pay it for us. And to say you don't need him is to say you're perfect within yourself. You're being pretty silly. Pretty silly. Almost everybody, if they'll just think a minute. If you ask them the question, have you ever sinned? Most folks will certainly say yes. Sometime you'll hit a guy like him that'll argue that he hasn't. But most of the time folks will. Preacher was trying to make that point one time when he was preaching and he spoke to the audience. And he said, anybody here ever know a man that hadn't sinned? And one fellow raised his hand. He said, I mean besides Jesus, and he kept his hand up. And preacher thought maybe he misunderstood him, so he asked again, you know a man that's never sinned? He said, yes. He said, who was it? He said, it was my wife's first husband. Now, we laugh at that, but the truth is all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, the scripture says. There's none righteous, no, not one. But it is amazing, just like these Jews right here. And like so many religious in the religious crowd today, they want to thank everybody but me. And I'm good enough. No, if you could have been good enough, Jesus could have stayed in heaven. He wouldn't have come die for our sins. And he came and died for us. The scripture says he loved us while we were yet sinners. Anyway, he talks to them here about they're doing the devil's will. They're serving their father. They've turned their back on the Father God that sent his son. And this is a hard truth for them to accept right here. And he says in verse 45, because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. I don't know. We live in a day and time where society has invented a lot of things that don't match up with God's word, of course. We live in a time of the brotherhood of man and the fatherhood of God, and that's talked big time in big places. And it's to dodge and get around and not face the truth of who Jesus was and why he came and why he was the only one that could pay for our sins. It's reality. You hear it in high places, big places from time to time. And Jesus here is rebuking them over this very thing, telling them about it. And they're trying to say he's born of fornication. He is not God. He is not the Son of God. And the argument still goes on today against the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 47, he that is of God heareth God's words. That's a reality. The Spirit of God lives within a man. He'll have an understanding he doesn't have otherwise. Ye therefore hear, see if I can get, the lights got dimmer in here this week. Ye therefore hear, am I seeing the word right? All right, hear them not, because ye are not of God. I've written so much in my Bible till sometime I can't see what was written first, amen? And it blurred me there just a little bit. You forgive me of that. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil? Now, the word Samaritan was a bad word with them, because they consider themselves pure and ethnic and first class, and they considered the Samaritans as being half-breeds. And so it was a racial statement, basically, that they made at the Lord Jesus here. And he said to them here, thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil. No, neither one. Jesus was born of pure Jewish parents, but his father was the Lord God, but Joseph was also a pure Jew, just like Mary was, so that was not a right claim. Jesus answered, I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and you do dishonor me. And here's the truth right here, folks. You hear it today in political ways and all kind of ways. You got a crowd that wants to claim to honor God, but not honor Jesus. You can't do that. You either honor the Father through the Son, or you don't honor him at all. And this is where they mess up so bad today. He said, I seek not my own glory. There is one that seeketh and judgeth. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my sayings, he shall never see death. Now, this spiritual talk to them that they don't... that they don't understand. Then said the Jews unto him, now we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead, and the prophets. But thou sayest, if a man keep my saying, he shall never taste of death. Like a lot of folks today, they can't separate the difference between physical death and spiritual death. That which is material and that which is spiritual. And so here they think they've trapped him again on this. And they say to him in verse 53, art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead? Whom makest thou thyself? And that's the line you ought to underline, because that's still it. They crucified him because they claimed he made himself the Son of God. Pilate had his doubts at the time that he washed his hands, tried to wash the blood off his hands. He was getting very nervous that Jesus was more than a man, that he was more than what the crowd said he was. And even his wife had warned him about it, and he was scared about it. History tells us he went nuts over that very thing, over that very statement here, "Whom makest thou thyself?" Was he God or not? In the early days of Hollywood, earlier days, it's never been good, but they did make some of the religious films. I think it was one of the big movie outfits. One of the leaders, Cecil DeMille, I believe it was, he said, and he was using it commercially, but he said, "Why let all that advertisement in the Bible go to waste for all those years?" So he made some films, and some of them were fairly accurate, not 100% right. But you remember some of them, the Ten Commandments under Charlton Heston. I never forget the reporter that challenged me on the Ten Commandments. If you go out the door right there on the left, you see where we have the plaque up there concerning the Ten Commandment rock and the picture of it on the wall there that's down in Bartow that we put up and had a big fight over it. Many of you remember that. I couldn't go anywhere around here, around my office or everywhere. There's reporters after me trying to ask me questions. It was kind of a unusual time, but I remember one reporter, he just followed around. He wanted to trip me up somehow, and one day he said to me, I believe it was right down there in Bartow at the courthouse, he said to me, talking about putting up the Ten Commandment rock, he said, "You Christians, there's no such thing as Ten Commandments." He said, "You got that from the Charlton Heston movie." That's what he said. And there's several reporters around, pretty good crowd when he said that to me. And I played with him a little bit on it. I might have enjoyed it too much. I said, his first name was Billy. I said, "Billy, did you go to college?" "I sure did." He told me where, what. I said, "I thought so. You couldn't have got that Dom without going to college." And all the reporters started laughing. He actually had a college degree, didn't know about the Ten Commandments in the Bible. He thought Hollywood invented them and made a movie called The Ten Commandments with Charlton Heston, and that we were copying that. Now, you say, "Oh, that's ridiculous." There's a whole big world out there just like that right now. And it's the world of academia. It's the world that claims to be knowledgeable when they know nothing. When you turn your back on the Bible, when you don't know anything that's in the Bible, you are not educated. You have fooled yourself. And the devil has fooled you. And that's just one of the prime examples I remember about that. I remember a reporter coming in here to the church one time. I was starting to walk out, and a lady was coming in, so I try to be nice to folks, and so she was asking me all about it, and I referenced the Ten Commandments, and she said, "I hate to say it, preacher, but I don't even know what some of them are," and there's a plaque back there on the wall, so I walked her back there and stood there and went down the Ten Commandments. You know what it allowed me to do? Present the gospel to her. And the truth is, you never get saved until you understand that you've come short of God's law. That's what sin is. Sin is the transgression of God's law. And you break it. And when God said, "Don't do it," you do it, it's sin. When he said, "Do it," you don't do it, it's sin. Amen? And so the law is helpful. I understand it's fulfilled in Christ. And you don't get saved by keeping the Ten Commandments. But the law that you've broken will bring conviction that you are a sinner, and it will help you to then find the answer, and the answer is Jesus. He's the one that came and took our place and paid for our sins as he died on the cross for us. So they ask him here in verse 53, "Whom makest thou thyself?" Who are you pretending to be? Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your God. No, very, very mixed up. You know, God testified to Jesus many times. Of course, the greatest of all was when he raised him from the dead. But he spoke from heaven. This is my Son in whom I am well pleased. Remember? He identified him. And the biggest thing was what Jesus told this crowd. He told them over in Matthew 12, chapter 12, verse 40. He told them over there that they all wanted a sign. If you're God, if you're the Son of God, give us a sign. He said, only one sign will be given to you, and that's the sign of Jonas the prophet. What was that sign? It was the resurrection. He says, as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. You see, with all the miracles he done, and all the power he demonstrated, and all the good, and all the healing, and all of that, if he'd have went ahead and been crucified and put in the tomb and stayed in the tomb, we'd have had no hope. But he came out. That's the sign. That's the proof from God that he was who he said he was, that he was his Son. He raised him from the dead with power. And this is still what religion can't get over today. Muhammad, he didn't have a resurrection. No proof of that at all. Nothing. They don't even claim it. Neither does Buddha or Shinto, or you name all of any Indian gods that you name, none of them came forth from the dead, but Jesus did. So he stands alone, and he is who he said he was. You know, even today, right now, there are a lot of false messiahs running around claiming to be God, but they don't seem to be able to prove it, do they? Like one fellow was saying, it's funny to hear somebody talk like this. He said, I'm gonna start my own religion. He said, just like Jesus did. And the fellow said, you're gonna do it just like Jesus did? He said, yeah. He said, okay, go ahead and get yourself killed and buried and let me see you come forth from the grave. And the truth is, that's not gonna happen. It's only happened one time, and it was the Lord Jesus Christ. But anyway, this still goes on today. They had a fellow down here in Miami just a few years ago. He got him on TV. Remember seeing that? Out in the street with a big mob claiming he was the Messiah. Well, guess what? He wasn't. And all the rest of them. Some of them founded their own religions. I sometimes joke about Christian Science. Christian Science, neither scientific or Christian, but call it that. And founded by a woman. She was married so many times we can't remember all of her names. Mary Baker Patterson Glover Eddy. How many did I name off? Was that seven? Six? There's more than that. I couldn't remember them all. But she wrote a little book thing. Somebody gave it to me and I put it back in the office there somewhere, but called, what was it? Key to the Scriptures. Is that John? Key to the Scriptures. You don't need her key. Bunch of foolishness. Key to the Scriptures. Mary Baker Patterson Glover Eddy. I remember hearing Brother Jewel Smith say this about her, John. He said she said she wouldn't die. But he said one day they backed a big old black long car up to her house and put her in a box and took her out and put her in that car. And they took that car down the road to a hill and they dug a hole and they put that box in the ground. And Brother Smith said, now she may not be dead, but you might as well be dead as being in a fix like that. And there's a lot of good truth to that, amen? But you got all kind of fakery that goes on today to dodge who Jesus was and the responsibility we have to face up to who he was, the one that loved us and died for us. And so they argue here, this religious crowd of the Jews here arguing against Jesus. And so verse 56, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Boy, that really throws them for a loop. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. They said, then said the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old. Hast thou seen Abraham? And Jesus answered unto them, or said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Now here's the play. You see the words, I am? See the words there. Jesus was in the beginning with God when the world was spoken into existence. Yes, he saw Abraham, but they couldn't see, they couldn't handle this. Now, when he uses the word I am here, when he uses the word here, I am, he is, they understand what he's saying. He is claiming to be very God of gods. I can't pronounce it correct. I might come close to spelling it for you, but there was a word for God that could be only used one time a year when the high priest entered into the Holy of Holies. It was the closest thing you've got in your King James Bible to it is the word Jehovah. But it's a tetragrammaton. It is a word that when Jesus spoke it with power, I don't have time to turn to it, but if you went to the day or to the night they arrested him in the garden and Judas kissed him and identified him, you remember they asked for him and Jesus said, I am he, I am he. When he said, I am he, just his power of his voice knocked them all back. He spoke the word. He spoke the very powerful word of God when he spoke that word. And that's right here in the text. If you look, before Abraham was, and here it is, I am. That's the word the high priest could speak in the Holy of Holies legally one time a year, and it identified Jesus as God. Time is up. I couldn't speak to that.